Psalm 48, and it's titled A Song, A Psalm of the Sons of Korah. And just as an aside to anybody that's interested, in the New Testament, two places where it talks about songs, hymns, and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, those are the three titles that are often used in the book of Psalms. This is one of the psalms that is also a spiritual song. And so that's what those three terms refer to. Psalm 48 in the New King James. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain, as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of Jehovah of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness, in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk around Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Now, as we go through the last several psalms, again, we're looking at Jehovah, Yahweh, the Creator God, the Redeemer God, saving a people to Himself, establishing a remnant, and then going to live among them and bringing His glory to them. Now, we're going to see some, again, as often happens, some direct parallels or applications of this psalm to the sermon and to the other things we're going to talk about today. This Psalm 48 starts with praise to the glory of God. Great is Jehovah and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain. Now, the city of God, of course, at the time was Jerusalem, and that's where the temple sat. And so that's where the body of God, the people of God, gathered together as a corporate witness to the world of what they should be doing, of the God they should be acknowledging, and of the truth that they should be living. And, of course, hardly anybody paid much attention to it as such. But at the time, during the, as I've mentioned before, the remnant period of the church, that's what was happening there in Jerusalem. And the mountain of God, the holy mountain there, which protected Jerusalem, the city, stood as a picture of God's strength and His providence for the protection of His people. Jerusalem was a very difficult city to access, to attack, to get to because of the geography. And God, of course, made it that way. Getting into verse 2, it says, beautiful in elevation. That means it's beautiful and majestic in its height and the way the mountain stood, children. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. And, of course, the great King they speak of there is Jehovah. Looking forward in the mercy seat to the throne room of God as Jesus, the Redeemer, the Merciful One, sat there in their midst. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. And again, the idea that God sat there and this was His city and He would protect it there in the Old Testament times is what this psalm here is looking at in this portion. Now, the people of God abused that. During the time of Isaiah, one of the, well, I'll just call it idolatries of the time, is that the city itself could never be taken, could never be abused, because it was the city of God. And so the people didn't have to be faithful. The people didn't have to trust God, particularly on a personal level. And you see that there's a few places in the Old Testament to speak of it at that point. The same thing happened during the life of Jesus and the building of the temple. They thought that the temple would stand inviolate. And that's why when He said, if you pull down these stones in 3 days, I can build it, referring to His body, not to the temple itself, because that was just a picture. That's why they sought to stone Him then. The city of our God, the city of the great King, is pictured by Jerusalem in the Old Testament. It is not the Jerusalem of the Old Testament alone. And we see that mentioned in the New Testament when Zion is spoken of as being the church and the people of God. And that's what the psalm is truly about in its complete interpretation. Getting to verse 4, "For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled, and they hastened away. Fear took hold of them, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind." Now, we live in Ohio. And those of us who have lived, or those of you who have lived in Ohio all your life, may not understand this picture of a great wind on the sea breaking the ships. If you've seen movies, The Perfect Storm would have been a good movie to get a picture of this. But the idea of the great storms on the seas as just a minor picture of the terror these kings felt when faced with Jehovah, it's a good picture if you understand the allusion. There are several times in the Old Testament when people came up against Jerusalem and God defended it and sent the people away and defeated them in His power, not the power of the army of Israel. And the allusion again here is that God defends His people and His city. As we have heard, so we have seen. Meaning we've heard this happen in the old stories, but we've seen it ourselves. In the city of Jehovah of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. And again, the misinterpretation of this. The Jews of that age, some of them had the same mistaken belief that so many people today have, that Israel was separate from the church, and that Jerusalem was somehow separate from the people God has called, and was special and would stay special in and of itself, apart from Jesus and apart from the church. That is not what the psalm is teaching, that the city, the physical city of Jerusalem, would never be taken and would be established forever. But Jerusalem as the picture of the church, the city that had the temple in it, the temple that was picturing God's living with His people in the person of Jesus Christ, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone and the foundation of the prophets and the apostles is what's being spoken of. And we'll get back to that thought, so hold on to that. Now, the people seeing God protecting His people, protecting His church, has said, "We have thought, O God, on Your mercies, on Your loving kindness, in the midst of Your temple, as they've gathered together as, again, the people of God, the body of Christ, to worship and praise Him. We have thought on Your mercies and loving kindnesses. According to Your name, O God." What is God's name? It's Yahweh. And again, that's the covenant name. The name that speaks of the covenant of grace. "So is Your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of Your judgments." Now, as we go on to the next part, again, remember, Zion is the church and the people of God. "Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces." Now, if we think of Jesus again as the chief cornerstone, the prophets and apostles as the foundation that this edifice is built upon, the church, then what are the bulwarks? And kids, that means a backing wall, a wall of strength, not just a separation. The palaces, the towers, go all around the city and look at the not just the defenses, but the beautiful structures and the things that are built up. These would be the works, not just of the church, but the pastors of old, the people, the writers, the teachers, the councils, as well as the Word of God, all knit together as something that beautifies and protects the people of God. It's something that's built up over time as people live in righteousness, as people live in intelligent knowledge of God. "Consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generations following, for this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death." Now again, as we look at the Psalms, one of the things that's striking did compared to a lot of hymns is that there's no Pollyanna, life will be fine. We're going to die. You are all going to die. But God will be our guide through that. And we can tell it to the generations, and if we do it properly, become part of these walls and bulwarks. This psalm is about the promises that Jehovah, the Creator, has to the people He has called. That no matter how bad it seems, no matter how outnumbered we seem to be, God is great, and He will defend, and He will spread His gospel using us as instruments. He hasn't, as so many people think, given us a task and gone back to heaven and he's waiting for us to do it. But he's working through us and in us. And because of his love for us, he will keep his church. His church isn't a bunch of people who decided to follow him. And that's the misconception that brings about this weakness. His church is people who are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Bought with a price beyond imagination, which makes us precious in his sight. Not an annoyance, not something that, give or take, but precious in the sight of the Father. So as we sing this psalm, and we'll sing 48a, the first part, let's think about, as we have heard, so we have seen. God does provide for his people and protect his church.